Hello, Roy here. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to The Roy Green Show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
This episode is brought to you by La Quinta by Wyndham. Your work can take you all over the place, like Texas. You've never been, but it's going to be great because you're staying at La Quinta by Wyndham. Their free bright side breakfast will give you energy for the day ahead. And after, you can unwind using their free high-speed Wi-Fi. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book your stay today at LQ.com.
Okay, so there is a story, lots of stories, but we like certain ones. We try to find them for you. The Fraser Institute study on oil and gas investment in this country versus investment in the United States. Now, oil and gas, we have so much of it. The world needs it. Look at Europe. And we've heard the expressions of need from Europe with our friend Terry Breaux, the former head of energy security for the country, the entire country of France. He joins us quite regularly on the program on the situation in Europe. He told us just 2 weeks ago. They're still expecting, or he's expecting, brownouts, blackouts in Europe over the winter because they just don't have enough energy. When Scholz came here, the chancellor from Germany came in August with his delegation. They didn't come here to sign a non-binding deal on hydrogen. There's no way that Chancellor Scholz is flying from Berlin to Canada to sign an imaginary deal for hydrogen. I mean, if it works eventually, but it doesn't exist at present, the system, you can't. Anyway, oil and gas, the world needs it. And the Montreal Economic Institute told us just a few weeks ago that the world has spent over $5 trillion since 2004 on the renewables industry. And yet, 84% of the world's primary energy today is oil and gas or fossil fuels. Okay, so the Fraser Institute study on oil and gas investment in Canada versus that in the United States, Wyoming and Texas, for example, those two states lead 15 petroleum-producing states and provinces for investment attractiveness. Where do you think the Canadian provinces rank? Let's find out. Ken Green is a Fraser Institute senior fellow. He's the study author. Ken, thank you very much for joining us. So tell us, first of all, before we get into the nuts and bolts of the study, where do the Canadian oil and gas producing provinces rank?
Well, thanks for having me on. And the quick answer is they rank pretty poorly on the list of petroleum, oil and gas jurisdictions in North America. The highest-ranked province is Saskatchewan, and they rank sixth out of the 15 jurisdictions you mentioned, the 12 American states, three Canadian provinces. But Alberta, with one of the world's largest oil reserves, ranks 12th out of 15. British Columbia, with huge natural gas opportunities, ranks 14th out of 15. So it's simply not a pretty picture when you ask where Canada ranks for attracting investment in oil and gas production.
Yeah.
It's not a pretty picture.
So you talked to senior oil and gas executives about where they're willing to invest and why they're willing to invest, or conversely, why they're not willing to invest. Tell us what they told you.
That's right. And the Fraser Institute has done this for quite a few years, does it as well in the mining sector, international mining sector. And one thing that comes up year after year after year is uncertainty and cost of regulation in Canada compared to other jurisdictions around the world where investors might put their money into oil and gas or, as I said in the other survey, mining. But the one thing that comes up constantly is the bureaucracy, essentially, the uncertainty around environmental regulations. And then the second, pretty much second or co-equal to that in Canada is the issue of disputed land claims. Now, it's quite, that's a significant issue in many states too, although not nearly as much as it is in Canada. And then the actual raw cost of compliance with regulation, how many hoops you have to jump through, how long they take, how expensive they are to jump through. Those are three things in Canada that deter people from saying, yeah, I think I'll be able to get a net return on my investment if I put some into Canadian oil and gas jurisdictions, that I think I'll get some back out, right?
So
I have faith. I'm going to get a return.
So what do you say to the people who would say, "Hey, that's really great. You know, we shouldn't be up at the top. We should be where we are. We should be at best 6th and 12th. What do you say to those people?
Well, I would say to them that they should probably listen to the lead-in of this segment on your show and ask whether or not the revenues from resource production in Canada might not be fed back into alleviating some of the healthcare system problems that Canada is facing. And the other innumerable problems Canada is facing economically with regard to needed sources of revenue in the world. This is how Canada historically has made its revenues and earned its way in the world, which is by the production and conversion to a certain extent of natural resources. And so they're asking the same question as well. Okay, maybe we just shouldn't actually make enough money to feed ourselves. As a country, maybe we shouldn't make enough money to pay our medical system or feed ourselves or any of that great stuff. And so they should listen to the lead-in of the food banks and lack of access to Tylenol and acetaminophen and things,
yes,
which really should never appear on airwaves in Canada. There's no excuse.
No.
For
it. You know, whether or not we produce and sell our natural resources to a waiting world, a world that needs it. It's become so clearly evident after the Russian invasion of Ukraine. It's really just been pushed right in front of our eyes. We see it every single day. Whether or not we do that, whether or not we sell to a waiting world and thereby benefit ourselves and benefit the world as well, because we produce, by and large, much cleaner energy than do many other mm-hmm. countries, right? Questionable actors in this particular environment. Whether or not we do it, it's going to happen anyway because the world needs it and it's going to be using it for decades to come. So, the point was made by the federal government, there's no business case to be made for natural gas exploration and pipelines and export. Don't tell the Chinese that because they just signed the world's, history's largest deal with Qatar. I would say Qatar. I think that's the correct pronunciation of the country's name. They just signed the largest deal in history with Qatar for the delivery of natural gas. And China didn't do that just because they wanted to funnel some money toward Qatar.
Well, you know, I think you make a very good point, which is that the world will not sit idly by
It can't afford to.
No. They won't sit and share the whimsy of Trudeau. Of Canada's government that thinks it can actually just...
Or the guy who climbed the CN Tower.
So we'll be supplied, and most of those suppliers will have lower environmental standards and lower ethical standards in many cases than in Canada, and therefore there will be more damages done to the world as a result of Canada's abstinence or withholding from the world markets the oil and gas revenue.
Okay, I'm sorry to interrupt, but I have one more question I have to ask you, and that's this. If we're number 6 and number 12 on the list, and Wyoming and Texas are far more attractive to the investor than our Canadian environment, wasn't always that way, but it is now. Your study shows that. Is there a way that we can actually, would we be able to persuade these investors to put their money into this country? Is it too late?
No, absolutely possible. I mean, one of the things the survey that Fraser Institute does has shown again also year over year, is that change can happen very, very quickly and has happened in Canada before. In the mining domain, for example, Quebec's rankings, they were top of the list. They were one of the world's leading jurisdictions for attracting mining investment. They made some bad regulatory decisions, bad policy decisions. They dropped precipitously only over a matter of years, but then they changed and they came back within a matter of years. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of swing power, I would call it, in these environmental regulations and settling disputed land claims that Canada could manipulate with regulatory streamlining, regulatory reform, and they could turn this around and move back up the list very expeditiously.
If you want to hear more, subscribe to The Roy Green Show on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you find your favorites. And if you like what you hear, leave us a review and tell a friend. I'm Roy Green. Have a great weekend.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back, massive.
drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.